Welcome to the Jolo Mofo Podcast.
Well, welcome everyone to episode number 32 of the Jolo Mofo Podcast. We're your hosts, Lou Money and
JP.
JP, what's new, man?
Oh, man. A lot of things are new. But let me tell you, I bought my first NFT this past week, which I honestly never thought I would do it. Didn't really get the whole thing about it, but bought it kind of just, I bought a UFC NFT.
Nice.
But it's really not for for any kind of investment purpose. And it was cheap. I like $8 or something like that. But I got to figure out there's a way. I mean, the tech hasn't come along yet, but you know, supposedly you would have some sort of frame like on your wall that you could have any or whatever kind of NFTs cycle through or the same one on there. You know, it could be like real artwork or, you know, sporting events and that kind of stuff. So
right,
there's a couple of those kind of things out, but they're like $1,000. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to buy this for like a few dollars and that's it.
So what is that buying experience like? Like, is there a site you go to buy these things? And like, how do you buy them?
Oh, I don't think there's like a central site. Actually, I never really looked into it too much, but I know like NBA has their own site. The UFC has their own site. So, you know, you kind of just go on there, you sign up for an account, you know, you link a bank account or something like that, and you could just go and buy whatever.
Oh, and so I guess you can buy it directly through UFC?
Yeah, right.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah. And they have a resale market on there as well. And I imagine at some point you can just download the NFT to some other platform or something and, you know, sell it wherever.
Okay. Well, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. So if you didn't do it for investment purposes, what's the point?
I would see, like, I would want a frame on the wall that I could have different pictures. It could be like regular artwork. It could be pictures of like the kids or, you know, whatever. Like if you were having people come over for like UFC fight night, you can have different like UFC knockout, you know, moments in those frames or something like that whatever kind of thing, you know.
So is it a digital frame then?
Yeah. Yep.
Nice.
You could do it like on an iPad or whatever. It's just like it has to run like Android OS or something like that. So.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's cool. That's different.
Something to waste my money on.
Yeah. Like there's not enough things in this world to waste money on.
Right.
Why not add one more thing? Jeez. Hey, have you been watching any good shows lately or what?
Yeah. You know, I mean, like I've always been into documentaries and, been a couple of like crazy documentaries. It's like a new trend. Guys swindling women for money. I feel like if you see like in the movies, like, you know, in general, you usually see a woman kind of like doing a con on the guy to take his money.
Exactly.
But yeah, this is like the, you know, there's like two or three documentaries out now on Netflix that are, it's the other way around. And it blows my mind. It's crazy. It like,
jeez.
Tinder swindler is one of them.
Tinder swindler. Yep.
And Bad Vegan. Yeah.
Wait, what a name for a documentary, Bad Vegan.
Yeah. Crazy, crazy stories.
Yeah. So like what's the premise behind them, more or less?
Yeah. Like with the Tinder swindler, he was just going through Tinder. You know, he had his profile was, you know, amazing, you know, good pictures. And he had pictures of him like jet setting all over the world. And so, of course, he was going to get a ton of matches, but they weren't like super rich people. They were just like... Yeah, he had many of them. One, you know, one had a ton of money, but the other one was like, okay. And the other one was just kind of like a, you know, regular sort of person with good credit. And the basic thing was he's very mysterious. Right off the bat, he takes him to do something super expensive. Like he picked this girl up on a jet and then took her. He's like, I got business in the other city over here. You can come with me. You know, we'll hang out for a little bit. You know, they have really good text right away in the beginning, and then he gets them out and he does something extravagant and they're like, whoa, this guy's got a ton of money and this and that. And then of course they're, you know, they start getting on the topic of like, you know, let's get engaged, let's start looking for places. She thinks it's super serious, this is going to be for the rest of my life. And then he starts bringing in like, you know, how he hooks them into giving them money is pretty much like it's a life death or death situation.
Really?
And yeah, he's like, oh, I'm going to need like $10,000 right away. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to, like, you know, live. It's like, I got to pay this money to this person or I'm kidnapped or whatever. And that one girl just kept out taking more, maxed out all her credit cards. And he's like, oh, don't worry here. This is what you say to them on the phone next time. So they'll up your limit. You're not shut off.
Wow.
So he knew all the ways to max those out. And then they started taking out, like, you know, personal loans and, like, let's put the car up for sale, something against the mortgage, and just let them dry.
And so, like, this is pretty early in the relationship, right? Is asking for cash?
Yeah. I'd say within, like, a month or two.
Jeez.
No, not the first few.
So but, he gets to it pretty quick then.
Yeah. And what that guy was doing, he was taking that money and he was going and partying all over the world with it. So he'd go like to like the hot spots and get like the best hotels, the best rooms, you know, VIP service area, take private planes everywhere. And then when the money was getting low, he'd go back and hit her up for more money.
Jeez.
She was like the ATM and he'd be like, I need 40,000 this time. I need 90,000 this time.
So did he run like multiple schemes at one time, right? He wasn't doing like just one at a time, right?
Cause as he was, you know, he was still swiping and then he would set up, you know, once he like, it's only a certain amount of money that you're going to get out of somebody.
Right.
Right. Sometimes it'll be, you'll get cut off quick and some will like drag out for a while. So yeah, he was always recruiting new people. And then he would knew once that one was going to be running out of money, he would start spending the last of the money he would get from her on the new person. So the last person getting hustled is funding the new person getting hustled.
Oh, so it's kind of like what Bernie Madoff is doing, right? Taking one $1, right?
Yes.
Yep. Jeez. Yeah. So I have a question for you then. Was what he was doing, is that in the gray area or how would we classify that?
Oh, I think, man, it is gray. I think it is gray. I mean, people get arrested, I'm sure, for it. And I'm sure there's some laws, but if, you know, some woman or a man is giving another person money willfully,
right?
Is that against the law or is it just, you know, against the terms of service?
Oh my goodness. All right. So that's a Tinder swindler. Yeah. And then what about Bad Vegan? What was that about?
So this was like this lady that she was super smart. Like she went to, I think, like Yale and like Wharton School of Business. I mean, she had all the top schools. And she started working for Bear Stearns before they went under.
Right.
Was an investment banker there. And then after like within 2 years, she left because somebody was like, oh, you know, this is not what you really want to do. So she found a passion for food, went to culinary school, and then opened up, I guess, like the first vegan spot in New York City.
And oh, wow.
It's 100% vegan, but the dishes look like, you know, like Gordon Ramsay type, you know, super nice dishes. And then like movie stars started, like Alec Baldwin had a crush on her. There was like tons of, you know, Twitter messages of him like flirting with her online on Twitter.
Oh, wow.
Which wasn't frowned upon back then. You know,
that was, yeah, that was okay.
Yeah, that was no problem with that. And who else? There was like a couple other celebrities that were always in there. Anyway, it's super popular. She was doing great. You know, she found some investors and this kind of stuff and this other stuff. And then she was partly in the business with her, I don't know if it was a boyfriend or husband, but they split up and then she was in a weird place. And then she found this guy that was, you know, the con guy.
Right.
And he was just like, I don't know, same thing. Said, I have a ton of money, like beyond belief, you know, how rich I am, and probably, you know, took her somewhere, a couple of places to make her believe that.
Right.
And yeah, then he just got her to fall in love. They got married right away. And then he started doing the same sort of thing like that other one I was talking about, where he was like, hey, there's this group of people. It's very secretive. I'm kind of like in the CIA, but he didn't say CIA, but that kind of like, you know, spy mystery kind of thing.
Right.
And everybody's putting you to the test. When you get done with this test, then you're going to, you know, all your money problems, like you're going to be in this. He actually had her convinced like there was going to be this special life in another universe and that he was going to make her and the dog immortal. But she had to go through a lot of trial and tribulations to get there. And of course, that was like, I need $20,000. I need $100,000. And he,
right.
2 years straight, like $2 million out of her account.
How do people believe this bullshit? Like, are there that many stupid fucking people out there?
I think halfway through, she was like, I kind of know it's bullshit, but I'm so deep in it. I just have to keep going through it. Like, she was, dude, I mean, look at all those schools. Yeah, she's super intelligent, like, amazing businesswoman. And, yeah, she didn't want to tell anybody because she was so embarrassed, and she just kept on going through it. Yeah, it's insane.
That is insane.
The dog was going to be immortal. And her.
I mean, you must really love your dog for your dog to be immortal.
But how did this guy, like, you know to say this to her? And he, like, they went back and found like some of his exes, and like, this is exactly, he lived in a fantasy world, brought you into it, and made you believe like all this stuff was going to happen.
Jeez. Wow. Yeah.
I feel that's next level than the Tinder swindler guy.
I mean, yeah. I mean, when you can convince someone that fantasy is real, yep. I mean, you got a good line of bullshit, I guess.
Oh, and they had to, like, they finally got caught, and they went on the run, and they were on the run for like a year, and they got caught in Dollywood. They were
Yep. Of all places to do federal prison, Dollywood. Well,
it was like Dollywood, and they showed all these weird kind of attractions that were all around there, and they were at some, like, you know, super low budget hotel. And I think the guy used a credit card that was, you know, being traced, and they ordered Domino's to the room. So all the headlines said, oh, the vegan queen gets busted by ordering Domino's.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm going to have to go and watch this. I mean, I started the Tinder swindler, but it was long. I feel like they dragged out some interviews. So,
yep.
Yeah, I don't know if I have the patience for that one. But I tell you what I did watch again this weekend was, again, my favorite movie, Spread, which I know I've mentioned previously on the podcast, but Ashton Kutcher's finest role of his career.
I'm sure a lot of people are not familiar with that.
Oh, the premise is Ashton Kutcher is a playboy in L.A., and he goes out, you know, dresses very nice, and he's got a good line of game, and he convinces these women to take him home and to take care of him. So he basically moves himself in because he doesn't have a place to live. He doesn't have a car. He doesn't have money, like none of that. So he's like living off of all these women. So like the next morning after they hook up, he pretends to be sleeping. And then the chick leaves her credit card so he can buy breakfast. And then he just ends up never leaving. Like he'll cook him dinner and like do all the stuff for them. And it's quite the story, but I'm wondering how many guys like that actually exist, especially in LA. I don't know.
I mean, there's at least two documentaries, so it must definitely be a thing. Where was it? And that movie, where was that shot?
Oh, that was in LA.
Yeah.
Where
are you heading?
Well, that's a good question. I am heading to LA. So, couple updates. The real estate deal in the final stages, inspection, appraisal, all that stuff happened. And the guy got rejected when the underwriter did their final review. And apparently, because he was getting an FHA loan and it's a federal program, this gentleman happens to work in the cannabis industry. So, the underwriter caught that. And apparently, there's some kind of rule or stipulation that any federal programs, they won't recognize any revenue from anything cannabis related because it's not federally approved. It's approved by individual states.
Wow.
So he got denied, and it was like the craziest like loophole I think I've ever seen, you know, as far as that's concerned. So pretty crazy stuff.
Yeah. I wonder, how banks, I mean, think about all the people that work in that industry. You know, what if a regular person just goes to get a regular, you know, whatever kind of loan, car loan, this and that. And if it's a federally backed, you know, program, they might have a problem.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's It's definitely very, very interesting because I was like, I was floored when my realtor called me. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? You know, so yeah, it was interesting for sure.
I guess that's why those dispensaries are cash only, because there's a thing with banks, right? They say now you can't deposit money from cannabis.
Right. So you can use a debit card because debit card same as cash, but you can't use a credit card.
Oh, it's a couple of the places over here, cash only. You can't use anything.
Cash only. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
See, there you go. Yeah, it's a crazy world out there. I mean, honestly, they need to just federalize and legalize this at the federal level, because it's silly that, you know, you have entire groups of people working in this industry and they're limited to financing. They're limited to all kinds of stuff because of the particular industry that they choose to work in. So yeah.
I think it's coming up for a vote on the federal level. It's been a lot of stuff in the news about it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it passes. Like I said, it'd be interesting to see what happens. So had a couple more showings. So the place is back on the market. So we'll see what happens there. Hopefully it gets sold pretty quick. So I'm cautiously optimistic, but it is going to delay my timetable in getting out there. So like I said, we'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
So any new updates on your end?
What do you got? Well, the green children update, it's going good, but I put too many plants in too small of a space.
Right.
And as they get bigger, they produce more humidity. At first I was struggling to get the humidity up as high as I needed it to be. And now I was struggling to get it down. So I couldn't keep the humidity down unless I opened the whole tent up, front door of it up. So it's wide open. It's in the garage. So it's still like, you know, nobody really sees it, but it's going to be a problem once it starts going into like really creating the buds. And when that smell comes with the buds, I don't have the door, a complete sealed tent that has, you know, the whole exhaust with the filter and a carbon filter, like that should take all the smell away. Now I have the whole door open, which means garage is going to smell. The front of the house is probably going to smell. Inside the house might smell. I don't know. I don't know how bad it's going to get, but there's nothing I can do.
So are we still recommending this week for people to do this?
I still recommend it. Just, you have to roll with the punches, because I, you know, at first I was like, oh, it's so I can't get the human, you know, the whole environment dialed in with the temperatures and all. And then I got it done. But then as it gets bigger, it changes it. Now I'm like, oh, I got to tackle this other problem. And then, you know, now here with the humidity is another problem. So you just, you know, if you're okay with rolling with the punches, you know, and adapting, then you'll be fine. Jeez. Or have somebody around you that knows what they're doing and they can walk you through the whole thing.
Well, the service, right? Isn't the service that needs to be started?
It makes all the more sense. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, no, it's been crazy on my end. So, I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, and I do apologize to everyone out there that I am super congested. I came back from Chicago. It was cold and rainy the entire time that I was there. And I don't know if I caught something on the plane or just a change in temperature. Yeah. But yeah, I'm super, super congested. And yeah, really feeling like shit. So yeah, but Chicago was fun. It's always a great city, always great food, great people. But yeah, I was definitely happy to get back to sunshine and some warm weather for sure. So hopefully that'll help clear me up a little bit.
Yeah. And it's been like, you know, 80s around this way. So I'm sure it was a big temperature swing going to Chicago.
Well, and I'll be honest with you, like, I think a Vegas run needs to be done here soon, because, you know, pools are open, you know, and I think it's time to hit the pool season, especially in Vegas. So we may have to do a remote pod from beautiful Las Vegas. maybe from the pool. We'll see.
Poolside, wow, that'd be exciting.
Yeah, that could be good. Get some live interviews. Side. Yep, absolutely. So that's been good. My personal life is still absolutely insane. I'm going out every weekend. I'm meeting all the wrong women. All of
sure.
them. Yeah. did Latin Night again.
Ooh.
My favorite little spot.
Yeah.
Got pulled a number. And then last night, oh boy. Oh boy, JP. I got in some real trouble last night.
Yeah. What?
So
kind of trouble.
Well, you know, it was watching some sporting event. And I got in my Lyft driver, my Lyft, and my driver and I start shooting shit again. And I don't know what it is with Lyft drivers, but they all want to hang out with me. So we had a great conversation. She was dropping me off at a fancy restaurant. And I said, hey, you want to come in, you know, grab a meal? She's like, yeah, absolutely. So she turns off her Lyft app and then she comes in with me. We have dinner. So I start talking to her. I'm like, oh, you know, what do you do other than Lyft? She goes, oh, I strip.
Two for one.
I mean, obviously not a very good stripper if she's doing Lyft. But yeah, it was interesting. So literally, I had dinner last night with a stripper. And it was an interesting evening, to say the least. I think we spent about an hour talking about if her ass was real or not.
Oh my God.
She was trying to convince me that it was. And I was like...
At that fancy restaurant?
Yeah, at the fancy restaurant. Yeah. Hope no one overheard the conversation.
Okay.
It was an interesting conversation. So, but, you know, it's funny because I remember listening to an episode of Joe Rogan. And he was talking about, you know, Kim Kardashian's ass and, you know, how, you know, obviously she's gotten shots and all the stuff in it. And it's interesting because, like, you can tell based on, like, the shape of the thigh headed into it. And it just, like, it looks like they're wearing, like, a diaper because, like, it doesn't, like, it's not proportionate. Like, a girl that really works out and stuff, it'll be all proportionate. Whereas with this, it was like, okay, your thighs are thin and then your ass is just huge. And it's like, right. It doesn't make sense because if you're doing... you know, squats and, you know, weights and all this stuff and really working it out, your thighs will build muscle with your ass. So, yeah.
What was it? Was it real or fake?
She said it was real. I feel it was fake. It was like, it was super hard. It was like, it didn't move. So like when you like slapped it, like it didn't like.
How do you know though?
Jiggle. I can't confirm nor deny that statement.
You just said when you slapped have to plead it. The fifth.
No, I'm saying when someone does, for instance, hypothetically speaking, allegedly. Okay. So, man, that's you're going to get me in trouble on this podcast, I'm telling you.
Oh.
But yeah, so it was quite an interesting evening. I did get a free lift home, no pun intended. So, okay. Yeah. You know, I mean, maybe that's the move, you know?
I mean, you might have uncovered a new niche here.
A new hack?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was so weird, though.
People
it was
usually
like,
don't go thinking of, like, you know, trying to pick up your Uber driver. So far,
didn't, like,
luck.
I did it in all of, like, a 15-minute drive, 15 minutes, yeah. And then I'm having dinner with this person. It's like...
Is it the same as, like, you know, you meet somebody in the grocery store? Usually, like, a lot of people, like, oh, yeah, that's cool. I don't know
yeah.
how often it happens, but maybe Lyft driver could be in the same category.
It could be. It could. I feel like it's harder to have a 15-minute conversation in a grocery store.
Yeah.
I feel like that's more of, like, a, you know, 2 to 3 minute interaction. Yeah. Whereas if you're driving somewhere, you have a captive audience for 15 or 20 minutes. But
does that rule apply to Whole Foods? Because like Whole Foods is like it's meant for like social interaction.
Well, Whole Foods like a is a different animal. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Whole Foods is a different animal. Whole Could Foods 100% is made for interacting.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's another episode.
Well, and I'll be honest with you. Like my favorite time to go at Whole Foods is like right when people are getting off of work. Right, all these women, yeah. Or at least they were pre-pandemic, would be all dressed up. You know, from work and everything really looking good, you know, going to pick up some groceries for dinner. And yeah, great, great environment to meet people. But yeah. you know, like I said, I'm just buying time. I'm not trying to get serious with anyone right now. You know, I'm not trying to have anyone hold me back. You know, have the plan, sticking to the plan.
Yep.
And, you know, and that's it. Keep it moving. So,
no need like to I get said, serious all, in the last few weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it all depends on, you know, like I said, getting an offer again, going through the process again. Just, it sucks. What a pain in the ass it is to sell real estate.
That is.
So, when you're looking for a realtor, you should look up how many deals they've actually had. You should look up all their stats and their numbers. Because I will tell you this, a lot of these realtors are good bullshitters. You know, they'll tell you exactly what you want to hear to get you to sign a contract.
That's their job, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, look at how many deals, look at how many houses they've sold, look at all this stuff, because some are rookies and you don't want a rookie, you want a vet selling your place, because a veteran normally has all the networking and connections to get your place sold. So I will give everyone a tip on that. If you are looking to sell real estate, make sure you do some research on the realtor before you sign any paperwork with them.
Yeah. Let me tell you, like at work, you know, there's a couple of people I know that do that on the side. And there's one guy that I worked with like every day for like 4 years. You know, knew him really well. I mean, you know, he became a realtor and stuff. And then it was at a time when I was selling the one house, going to the other.
Right.
And, you know, he knew it, he almost felt, or you almost think like, hey, might as well use you because I know you so well. You know, we talk every single day.
Right.
But I knew he didn't have any houses under his belt. And I'm like, ah, I can't risk that, man.
Yeah.
And if they mess it up, somebody at work, you know, it's just going to get messy. That's basically what I told him.
Well, and if they're inexperienced, they don't know how to A, negotiate, B, all the tips and tricks that these realtors try to pull when negotiating and slipping stuff into contracts and all that stuff. So like, if you're not like really going over everything, you could get really put together.
I had to fire a realtor one time that was helping me look for a house. And, he kept saying like, I would, you know, I would pick some houses out. Rarely did he give me houses to look at. Like mainly I had found them. And like, hey, I want to look at this one. He's like, oh, I'm busy. Like, maybe we'll get to it tomorrow or something like that. So there was a couple of those times that he wasn't being flexible with the time, which realtors should always bend over backwards for you.
100%. Yep.
So yeah, there was that. And then there was, I told him, I was like, listen, I got to work all day. I don't have time to go look at all these houses. You know, like exactly what I'm looking at. You go to all the houses. And if you think I like them, then I'll come back. So I'm not wasting my time on all these. And
nice.
He was like, okay. Yeah, sure. We could do that. And then of course, like whatever, a couple more things happened. And I was like, called up some other guy I knew. And he was like, of course I'll do that all day long for you. And that was it.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Sure. Right. There's too many real estate agents out there to settle for.
Yeah. And I mean, look, they make a lot of money when they sell a house.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when you buy a house, like, They do all right for themselves. So, you know, I mean, they're not working for free out here. You know, they're making, you know, on the low end, maybe 20 grand,
it's not a bad payday.
Yeah, of course. You know? So depending on how expensive the house is, you know, they're going to make a ton of money. It's like, but you have to work, you know, like the best realtors work crazy weeks. You know, they're working more than a 40, 50 hour week every week, but they're also making a shit ton of money.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if the market's hard, hot, you got 30 days to, you know, close on a house. Let's just say somebody finds a house within 2 weeks and 30 days to close. So that's like 45 days of work.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
60 days of work. It's not bad.
So we'll see. So I had two showings yesterday. Nothing came of it. And then today I've had zero showings, which I'm a little disappointed about, to be honest. On a Sunday, I would think.
Sundays. Yeah. Sunday showings.
You know, you'd at least see one person stroll through. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And like I said, be careful where you meet your real estate agent too. So that's all I'll say.
Yeah. Like, don't meet him in the strip club.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that would not be wise to, did we tell that story?
I think you did.
Did like, I? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so a yeah, you met one that was a real estate agent.
Yeah. Which is really like, What an odd combination. Like, I take my clothes off for a living, and I also sell real estate. It's like, are you just trying to find jobs that you think are easy money professions? I mean, that's,
yeah,
you know, because I mean, like a good real estate agent, that's a difficult job. It requires full time attention. Like, how do you strip and sell real estate? Yeah, yeah. She wanted to sell my place, and I was like, I was like, you probably could sell it, but I don't know if you have quite the right network, and I don't know if you how good you are with contracts and all that. So
I
was not feeling the most confident with her based off of my interaction. So yeah, so no stripper real estate agents, huh?
Well, hopefully next week we got a different outcome.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, like I said, we'll definitely see. And hopefully I'll start feeling better here because, like I said, my voice sounds like shit and just super, super congested. So trying to put all this behind me. Yeah. But all right. Well, listen, on that note, I think we're going to wrap this one up. Episode 32 in the books. We're headed to 33. So very excited about that. And it's been a journey so far, JP. You know, we've come a long way since episode number one.
We have. Quick question. Number 32, was that OJ's number?
The juice. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to have to look.
But you're right. We've come a long way since then. That's not bad topic maybe to talk about another time.
Yeah.
Difference of like what it was like in the beginning.
He was 32. You're right.
Yeah.
I mean, Shaquille O'Neal was too. I mean, if we want to,
that's what we want. Yeah,
a more modern reference. 33. Yes. What's a great 33? Larry Bird's.
Oh wow!
So Larry Bird, supposedly
the best shit talker in the game.
Oh, best shit talker. Yeah,
I thought MJ was, but a lot of people say Larry Bird.
No, Larry Bird putting MJ to shame when it came to shit talking.
Damn.
He, I heard like some story on a documentary where he told another great player, he's like, I'm going to go right there in that corner and I'm going to shoot this shot right in your face and I'm going to make it. And he literally did just that. And guy couldn't stop him at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really, really Ouch. Ballsy. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so episode 32 is a wrap. And we'll see you guys. We'll see you guys in the next one. See ya.
See ya.
Thank you for listening. See you next time.